This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture with me, Lim Soo Ann. 2 weeks ago, after Dato' Sri Ismail Sabri Yaakob was appointed as Prime Minister, the former Deputy Minister of Women, Family and Community Development, Hannah Yeo, called on the Prime Minister to establish a separate ministry to look after the needs of children in the country, especially right now during the pandemic. As far as many people are concerned, right now children's issues are largely addressed by the Ministry of Women, Family and Community Development. So why is having a separate ministry necessary? How will it help us better protect children's rights and welfare? And more importantly, is it the right time now? So joining me to shed more light on today's topic is YB Hannah Yeo herself, as well as Dr. Hartini Zainuddin, child rights activist and founder of Yayasan Chowkit. Thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you, yes.
YB Hannah, perhaps I'll start with you, right? Could you give us a bit of background as to why you called for a separate Ministry of Children to cater to the needs of children specifically?
Okay, I'll give you some background. When Pakatan Harapan was in Putrajaya, we were looking at a lot of the issues related to children. And we found out that there's actually a lot of gaps in the existing system, not enough to address children issues. So for a start, children issues are all parked with Bahagian Kanak-Kanak, a department within the Social Welfare Department. And Social Welfare Department is a close agency, which means, you know, you cannot have other civil servants from other ministries being rotated to join this Social Welfare Department. And as a result, you do not get new pool of people into the system. And if you have officers who are not passionate about children issue, but they are stuck in the department, you are unlikely to go anywhere with the same pool of people, or, you know, just simply by having new ideas, that's not going to happen. So when we look at the gap during that time and the weaknesses during that time, we told Social Welfare Department, and also we had a few meetings to look at expanding the services for children to be parked under a specific agency. So we were looking at least an agency kanak-kanak. But ideally, we should have a Kementerian Kanak-Kanak, a ministry for children. Now, why? Because children form 30% of our Malaysian population. We are not even talking about stateless children yet and children who have one parent from another country. We have so many issues surrounding citizenship and children. And so the real statistic, how many of such children are in Malaysia? We do not have that kind of data. And because of that, I feel that if we continue to have children issues ignored, swept under the carpet, this is going to cost the nation a lot more. And it will come back and bite us in the long run. And so when we were looking at a new prime minister with a new mandate, a fresh mandate from the 220 MPs, and people were giving their wish list, I do not think it's wrong for me to give my wish list to the prime minister, especially when he has said that this is a Kerajaan Keluarga Malaysia. They are looking at the family concept. And how can you have a concept of a family when children issues continue to be ignored? And I do not have faith in the current leadership of KPWKM, the Women Ministry, under Rina Harun, simply because she and her deputy, they have neglected children issues since Sheraton moved. You speak to any children NGO, it is extremely difficult to get an appointment with them.
And I'll get to your thoughts on that in a bit, Dr. Tini. But YB Hannah, I want to touch on something a bit more, right? You said that during your tenure as Deputy Minister, there were discussions for an agency kanak-kanak to be set up. I guess at that time, were there discussions for it to be a separate ministry instead, or was it just solely focused on an agency?
We were in the midst of our administration at that time with a cabinet already formed. okay? And we had, for the first time, our woman minister was the deputy prime minister. So we had a lot of muscles mm-hmm. to bring to the table to negotiate. And we had a representative like Dr. Wan Aziza at the cabinet table. Mm-hmm. And so we were able to talk a lot about children issues because of the weight of the position she carried. And she really allowed a lot of children issues to be brought to the table. We had a lot of engagement. For the first time, the commissioner for children was appointed during our time. And, you know, we look at partnering with other agencies and, you know, like Google Malaysia, we'll look at awareness program. How can we reach the children better? And I dare say that there was better engagement with the NGOs. We were more open to talking to them, hearing out their problems. And that's why at that time we say, I want the fastest way we can increase protection for children. And so while we look at the agency for kanak-kanak to be set up, right, and to be restructured, we also talk about immediate increase in children protector. Under the Child Act, you are supposed to have pelindung kanak-kanak protectors, and we had only about 208 of them in 2019. And so we were pushing for this to be increased because in Kuala Lumpur, the entire Kuala Lumpur at that time, we only had about 12 pelindung kanak-kanak looking after 40%, close to 40% of children population in Kuala Lumpur. Mm-hmm. Obviously not enough. They were not able to do any follow-up on the cases they received.
Mm. And I guess when it comes to increasing the number of child protectors, was that under the purview of the of KPWKM?
That's right, under Social Welfare Department, because everything is parked under, you know, Child Act. They are very particular about punca kuasa, the source of that power, where it's going to be parked. And so Social Welfare Department is definitely the anchoring body looking into child rights. And that's why we need to expand that department. Currently, it's just one small department within JKM.
Dr. Dini, I want to quickly get your thoughts on this. You know, you've been working in children's rights, children's issues for years now. Do you think that we need a separate ministry specifically to cater for the needs of children?
Absolutely. I totally agree 110% with YB Hanayo. You know, we've been advocating that there be a separate department, a separate office, a different ministry for years, echoing what YB Hanna said. You know, when you have 30% of the population having needs not met, and we're talking about basic needs, yeah, never mind protection and programs, when you have basic needs not met, and when you have issues highlighted, especially now during the pandemic, where so many children are suffering and not enough is being done, you know there's a problem. And there's a problem not only in our child protection system, but the fact it's simply math. Children don't vote. I'm sorry, but that's my view. It's as cynical as it is, but that's the honest truth. Children don't vote, so children are not a priority. And therefore, their rights, their needs, their protection and services are not met. And honestly, it is shocking to see how very little the Ministry of Women right now is doing, because I hardly see anything except, you know, photos of officials, you know, giving food to children, and even then, you know, only in certain cases. Where is the systems? Where is the task forces? Where is the conversation and the action taken to ensure that the children are protected, especially now during such a difficult time? So I really want to assist and echo the call of YB Hanna to ensure that we have this ministry as quickly and as safely and as efficiently as possible, because we need it now, not tomorrow. We need it now.
Have activists and NGOs been working together with the Ministry of Women, Family and Community Development in any capacity, especially during the pandemic in the past 17 months?
I haven't. I can't speak for anybody else. But I haven't. I've not engaged with her. I engaged with her once when the pandemic started, but that was on homelessness. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen her since. So I don't know.
Mm. Were there attempts from either side to reach out to the other?
I think there were discussions on child protection policies that were done virtually, but I didn't attend those meetings. So I really don't know. But I haven't seen her once. So I don't know. Maybe the others have.
YB Hanna, we often think of the Ministry of Women, Family and Community Development as the main ministry in charge of children's issues. But is it really the only ministry? You know, are there other ministry who also have a hand in tackling children's issues and welfare?
Okay, so there are other ministries looking at children welfare. For a start, education ministry, but they are focused mainly on education. And that begins only at the age of five. Mm-hmm. 5 to 6, that's under Tadika, parked under education ministry. If you are 0 to 4, that's parked under women ministry because that's TASCA. Mm-hmm. On top of that, you have rural development ministry, Kementerian Pembangunan Luar Bandar, in charge of KEMAS. TASCA KEMAS across the country. And then you have Kementerian Perpaduan looking at TASCA Perpaduan. So when you have four different ministers looking into early childhood education, and they have their own separate budget, every minister wants to have their own separate report card, different programs, you know that when they enter Standard 1, they come with very different starting points. Some can read, some cannot count. And as a result, when Pakatan was in power, we look at wanting to restructure early childhood education and care. Mm-hmm. We had started a first meeting. We call in the ministry and we say, look, we were very interested in handing over everything to the education ministry so that the woman ministry or the agency kanak-kanak can start looking at regulations, looking at child protection, so that we don't duplicate our work. We do not have four different agencies looking at early childhood education. And, you know, looking at budget for food, for example, you know, in TASCA Perpaduan, the kids are given breakfast, but their budget is so small. At that time, we were told it's about RM2 per head. And then you look at home ministry, you look at those in detention, they have a bigger budget than our own children. And so when you have different ministers in charge of looking at this portfolio, when I talk about having an agency for children or a ministry for children, I do not talk about it in silo. We are looking at comparison with how much the nation is spending on football, for example. Sometimes we have 2 to 3 agencies looking at IT alone, but for something as important as children, 30%, we brush aside. You know, it's a typical mindset. They are just kids. They don't know anything. Not important. Housekeeping. Anybody can look after children. So let's just park them under social welfare department. But you know, social welfare department, when they receive budget for welfare rollout, they're going to look at social welfare department already receiving such a big portion of money. But that actually goes directly to welfare recipients across the nation. And so when it's actually sent to Bahagian Kanak-Kanak in JKM, you know that they're not going to get enough. When I was in Putrajaya, I called for a meeting looking at, you know, Pelindung Kanak-Kanak, Pegawai Psychology, people who are tasked with following up on child abuse cases. I asked them, what is your budget each year? How much are you getting? And I was told down to the district level, mm-hmm. that department probably get about RM11,000 a year for a program. Now, RM11,000 a year, we spend it on makan-makan, open house, any ridiculous programs, you know, that don't have any impact, we spend on those things. But when you are talking about children rehabilitation after a very traumatic child abuse experience, you get RM11,000 for the entire district. Something is wrong with how we view children issues. And very soon, these children will become 18 years old. They will get married. They will become parents themselves. And if they are not healed, you know, and they are not made whole, that vicious cycle of abusing children is going to repeat itself because they think that is the only way I know how to deal with children.
I guess it goes back to the old saying, right? Children are seen and not heard. And so we don't hear enough from them about what their concerns are, about what they would like to see as well.
Yep. And I want to echo what Dr. Tini has said. Dr. Tini said, for now, you only see gimmick. You see the minister visiting a big case highlighted in the media, or a celebrity has passed away. You see the minister talking about that particular case, but the entire system, what about those in Sabah? Dr. Tini has been working with a lot of them, very heartbreaking cases. Where is the system to look after children who do not have a voice? They cannot email us. They don't know how to WhatsApp us. They don't have a phone. You are not going to hear their voices. And, you know, the minister had the audacity to want to shut Talian Kase in the beginning of the pandemic. So can you imagine? It doesn't cross her mind that these children need to be heard. And so this is our frustration with Parliament shut. We are not able to get data. We are not able to follow up on meetings, cases. And by right, you know, ministers have no reason in the last 8 months to not move on issues or committees, because you have no Parliament. You do not need to attend big programs, because all programs, SOPs, do not allow those things. You should have a lot of Zoom. You should have a lot of engagement with the NGOs on the ground. Monthly Zoom. You know, it's not going to cost any money. Why this is not done? Yeah.
Hmm. I guess one could argue that, well, the minister or the deputy minister might not be posting about everything that they do online, right? How do we then hold them accountable? Is that where Parliament comes in?
That's right. In Parliament, we are given the space, usual Parliament sitting, we are given the space to ask questions, submit questions, get the data, debate, right? But judging from last year's budget sitting, no matter what you raise, they are going to tell you that we're going to give you in writing. But those things in writing never came to us. And when you have a speaker who doesn't allocate enough time for this issue, it's going to be drowned. And that's why I spoke about, you know, not just a woman minister or a woman ministry. We've got to start looking at restructuring the entire cabinet. If you want to talk about Keluarga Malaysia, let it reflect that institution. Home minister must think for family, for children, for women. At the moment, it's all about, you know, oh, security. We got to protect our country. These kids are already in Malaysia. No child asked to be born stateless. Nobody. You know, we should not have policies punishing the innocent life. We should look at how we can, you know, absorb them into our system. They are already here.
Mm.
Yeah.
All right, let's go for a quick break now. And after, when we come back, I want to ask you, Dr. Tini, about the issues that you've been seeing. YB Hannah mentioned how children in Sabah especially are coping, and I want to find out more about that. I'm speaking today to YB Hannah. You're the MP for Segambut and the former Deputy Minister of Women, Family and Community Development, as well as Dato' Dr. Hartini Zainuddin, child rights activist and founder of Yayasan Chowkit. And we're discussing the need for a separate Ministry of Children in our Cabinet. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Keep it here on Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture with me, Lim Soo Ann. Joining me on Zoom today are YB Hannah Yeo, MP for Segambut and former Deputy Minister of Women, Family and Community Development, and Dato' Dr. Hartini Zainuddin, child rights activist and founder of Yayasan Chowkit. And we're discussing the need for a Ministry of Children specifically and the issues when it comes to children's rights, children's welfare and their protection that we really need to address, especially when the pandemic has exposed all these gaps in our system that really have been there for a long time. Dr. Tini, I want to touch on something that we've been sort of bringing up now and again, right? But to explore it in detail, what are the specific issues or challenges that children are facing right now that have been made worse during the pandemic? And are you seeing certain communities being affected more?
Yes. Thank you for actually bringing that up a couple of times, Webby Hannah and Sue Ann. So yes, we've seen, you know, highlighted so many gaps during this pandemic as well, whether it's access to justice for children in conflict with the law, because, you know, they've committed a crime and they can't go to court and it's been delayed, or, you know, looking at ways in which we can provide access to health for children. Sabah breaks my heart. And, you know, I'm not a Sabah and I get it, but, you know, I work with children. And so, you know, we've been working with food relief to Sabah virtually, like, you know, sending money over and, you know, coordinating food, etc. And what I've noticed over the last 18 months is this pattern of children and mothers not having access to health. It's not just about delivering food services. You're actually seeing children in communities, stateless communities in particular, not malnourished. You're seeing a rise in scabies. I am seeing babies with the worst outbreak of scabies ever. I actually had to ask doctors what this was, showing photos, right? And it's repeated over and over again. There is a rise in death, definitely, of babies being delivered at home. We had the most traumatic case 2 weeks ago where a mother actually suffocated her baby to death because she was delivering halfway and the baby got stuck and the baby died. You know, we had another death yesterday, another death the day before. We don't know what's going on. But you see the numbers in Leisure Today's articles, which says that there's a rise of COVID cases amongst children and babies in Sabah, and you're thinking, I told you, please provide access to health. I told you, please provide food to everyone. Why do we make a differentiation whether you're Malaysian or not? Giving food is a basic right. It's a humanitarian crisis that's developing in Sabah, and we need to address the issue. And access to health is the biggest issue. No inoculation, no follow-up, no vaccination, no food, you know, malnourishment, scabies, TB, deaths. You know, we need to do better. 615 cases are only in government hospitals. What about the ones at home? Never mind online education. That's not even a priority at this point.
So, if I may add, what Dr. Tini talked about, access to healthcare, you know, if you are not a Malaysian, you pay a lot to access the healthcare in our public hospitals. And, you know, you have, I have food aid and I have a hotline. We get calls from mothers who say, my baby has been having fever. I do not have money to buy Panadol. That's the kind of cases we are getting in Klang Valley. In Klang Valley, never mind about, you know, rural area in Sabah. So you can imagine if these are the scenarios now where, you know, parents are not working because they are shut down in a lockdown. They cannot go out and get jobs. They have no money to buy medication. They don't know what to do with, don't talk about COVID, just talk about basic fever. They don't know what to do with that. Right. And if you look at the buckle that they shout about in parliament, in that buckle, there's no milk. In that buckle, there's no diapers. In the buckle, there's no Panadol. And so where are these people going to get food? Where are they going to get milk for their babies? And that's why I dare say, if not because of the NGOs and the activists looking after children across Malaysia, the situation would be a lot worse.
Can I add more to that? And these flippant remarks of, well, they were already malnourished to begin with. We're just highlighting the issue. I'm sitting here in shock because I'm like, children in Malaysia shouldn't be malnourished. This is because you have no access to healthy food. This is because you have no access to health services and educational awareness. Please stop telling me that malnourishment was their way of life from before the pandemic. We've just exacerbated and made it 100 times worse, you know? So the food aid, as YB Hannah says, we say many things, most of the food aid, please, are milk powder and diapers. And they said, oh, what about breastfeeding? I'm like, I asked the mother this, what about breastfeeding? And she said, you know what? If I'm not eating, how do you expect me to feed my child? What do you want? What milk do you want me to breast, right? So the situation is perpetual. The issues are being addressed in silos. We don't seem to want to address the issues as a whole country and everyone in it. We want to be divisive in terms of saying Malaysian children, non-Malaysian children, this group versus that group. It's going to get back at us because we didn't take care of all children, and we need that ministry. We need that ministry to focus and address all the issues, you know, to really understand the issues. And I'm telling you, we're in very big trouble, very big trouble.
You know, as both of you said, these are problems that have already existed before COVID, but the pandemic, the lockdowns, the MCOs, the restrictions have all made it much worse. What were the challenges in tackling all these issues prior to COVID?
I don't think the pandemic has made it worse. The pandemic has just highlighted to everybody how a weak system will manifest itself like this currently. It's just that before the pandemic, people had jobs. You know, you don't get NGOs going on the ground as extensive as now, giving food aid. And so those cases get drowned. You know, it's all the few good news that will make it to the news. And so the challenges before, like I said, when I was working on children-related issues, I found structurally that needs to change. It cannot be parked under a closed service, a department within social welfare department. Because children issues, you need training, you need expertise, you need budget to look at these issues. Now, when I say we need a separate ministry, an additional minister for children, it's simply because the current minister has failed to look after children's voices. And so when she was reappointed, obviously we're not excited because we have proposed a different candidate, and that candidate in Azalina has to be completely dropped. And we compare it with special envoys with being appointed, given ministerial status. You have ministers with, you know, special advisors to prime minister. You have special duties, ministers being parked under PMO. Surely if you can have make room for all these different men to be reappointed, it does not hurt to have one being assigned to just look after children. Now, if it's a common trend, kanak-kanak, you would have a minister for children. That minister will not be able to focus on anything else but children. And this minister must go to the cabinet table and report on children, go to parliament and report on children. Currently, when you have a minister who's not passionate about children issues, she's also looking after women, OKUs, homelessness, you are looking after senior citizens. When you are given half an hour to debate in parliament as the minister, you can choose. Let's just deal all with the women issues because they are voters. And then when I have no more time to address children issues, I tell MPs, well, I'll give you in writing. Saya akan jawab secara bertulis. That's exactly what's been happening. Whether it's the home minister or the women minister, this kind of pattern and trend, let's just sweep children issues under the carpet. You know, it's just babysitting, housekeeping issues. Let's not waste parliament time. That is so wrong. Parliament needs to debate about this.
So, YB, when you called for a separate Ministry of Children, right, at that time, the Prime Minister, Dato' Sri Ismail Sabri, had yet to announce his cabinet lineup. And now we've seen that it's the number of minister and deputy ministers remain the same as the previous cabinet at 70. And this has been criticized by many to be a bloated cabinet. So do you think that, do you still stand by your call for another ministry to be added right now?
Definitely cut out the rest that are irrelevant. Why do we need special envoys to, you know, a different country in a time of pandemic now when nobody can travel? Why do you have three special envoys now when, you know, you have children issues in Sabah not dealt with? Why don't you create jobs that are important to help solve the current issues within our shore? So these positions are created just to keep them happy, to make sure that the number for Prime Minister 114 remains intact. Nothing about really looking after the population here, people who need help.
There is no, I'm going to add, sorry, there is no compassion and kindness at all towards children. Yeah, we can talk about the laws, we can talk about protection services and stuff. Never mind that they're not a priority. There is no compassion and no kindness shown towards anybody who's different or anybody who's fallen out of the system. It is shocking how we treat children in this country. You know, it says, for me, I like I said, I'm a little cynical, it says women, family, and community development. It doesn't say women, family, children, and community development, right? And children are always on the by and by. It's always an afterthought. They're always an afterthought. And it just kills me that we do so little for children and expect so much from them to be able to spend for themselves, do for themselves, ask parents to do, when parents are in a situation right now, especially during the pandemic, where they're struggling to put food on the table, and then asking children to work to supplement that food, right? We've got a huge issue right now on forced labour. Who is looking into it? Please don't tell me Ministry of Human Resources looking at the protection of children, right? That's just not good enough. Right? Or asking the Minister of Home Affairs to look into issues on forced labour and trafficking because, you know, it's under his purview, not understanding at all what child protection and child services is, or understanding that the needs are different, right? None of that.
Is there a concern that, you know, if we have a separate Ministry of Children, the people who work on children's rights and welfare are then working in silos?
No. Because I think children's needs and protection cuts across every single ministry and every single thing. But the focus is on children. It's child-centered. It is on ensuring that children don't just survive, which is where we are in so many places, and not thriving and becoming the productive citizens that Malaysia wants, right? Becoming the productive people that Malaysia wants, right? We don't have that. So, you know, we're very short-sighted. Sorry, YB. I'm just jumping in. But, you know, we're just so short-sighted. We just don't think like YB Hannah and stuff and this whole call for ministry, you know, I'm here because I really believe in that we need this ministry. We've been needing this ministry for years. You know, it's overdue. I'm just amplifying what she said because it's so important, and that we should put children's needs and protection in services right smack in the middle of everything. We have to protect them. We're the adults.
Hmm. And I guess on that note, YB Hannah, do you think we need to do more to empower children as well to speak up about, you know, their concerns and their rights?
They are vulnerable. Below 18, children are vulnerable. We cannot assume that children have a voice simply because many of them exist in homes that violate them. Mm-hmm. When you have child abuse, you have children being silenced at home. You are not going to find children talking when they go to school. And if you're not going to get children who have no documents, always been told to hide at home, they are not going to go out and look for an NGO. They don't know where to look for Dr. Tini or, you know, other NGOs. And that's why I say for people who do not have a voice, the system must give them a voice at the cabinet table. That's how important it is. And I know I want to say that when you do not have a deputy prime minister looking into this issue, you do not carry that weight to mainstream politics. And as a result, people just, you know, I don't talk about it, I don't hear it, there's no problem. And that's why the authorities get very upset with NGOs or activists like Dr. Tini, because they highlight the actual situation on the ground. When you post a photo like that to them, is don't talk about Malaysia like that. We don't have this kind of problem in Malaysia. You know, it affects human rights, where we stand as a nation. And I really believe that we need to restructure the entire system. I am sorry. I am not saying that sports not important, but I feel that when you have life at stake, when you have, you know, children dying in homes and having no access to healthcare, something is quite wrong if you're spending millions on, you know, sports, for example. Not because sports not important, but there is something greater that needs our attention and our resources. I don't know when will we ever get a prime minister who will care about these vulnerable lives. I'm just sad that Dato Sri Dr. Wan Azizah, you know, carrying the portfolio as deputy prime minister, having the weight to do things during that time, that was short-lived because of what has happened. Yeah.
So before we end then, you know, looking at the situation right now, we while people like both of you continue to push for better action when it comes to tackling children's issues, when you continue to push for a separate ministry for children, you know, right now things are still under the purview of KPWKM. So I guess what would each of you like to see done better? What specific issue would you like to see the minister and deputy minister prioritise, especially in the short term, considering what we have been seeing in the news as well?
Start working on policies. Stop doing house visits. There are so many houses. There are 500,000 welfare beneficiaries, but you're going to spend all your time visiting every single home. You know, do what ministers are paid to do. Fix the policies in Putrajaya. House visits, you know, leave it to the local MPs, the local residents association, who can do that. You know, I can do that too as an opposition. We don't need to pay a minister in Putrajaya to do house visits. I was horrified when I first heard that, you know, there are only 33 cases mentioned by the minister, 33 cases of children made orphans because parents have passed away because of COVID. And then Education Ministry came out and announced, no, it's about 1,000 over, you know, basic issue like data, simple things like that. When you have 15,000 deaths, you cannot possibly have just 33 children affected by COVID. No way.
For me, what I would like to see this minister and the deputy minister do is really please improve on their food aid distribution program. The list that they have is obviously outdated. It doesn't cover everyone. Otherwise, we NGOs wouldn't have to cover all the groups of children and families that have not been addressed by JKM and their list. So please, you know, I'd love to see her actually wear sweatpants, sneakers, go down and actually, you know, sort of plan and ensure that everybody who needs food gets food. I would love to see her advocating for children. I would love to see her saying, we need to focus on what the welfare of children is, actually having data that actually is true, but also ensure that, you know, we address the fact that we have all these children who are sick and dying in every state, especially Sabah, you know, and address the issue on maternal health and mortality. Please, do your work.
All right. Thank you both so much for joining me today.
Thank you for inviting me. Thank you, YB Hannah, for bringing this up. Really, I'm just so happy to be here.
Thanks, Suan, for allowing, you know, children issues to be heard on BFM.
Yeah.
I've been speaking to YB Hannah Yeo, the MP for Segambut and former Deputy Minister of Women, Family and Community Development, and Dato' Dr. Hartini Zainuddin, child rights activist and founder of Yayasan Chowkit, about the need for a separate Ministry of Children and why it's necessary to pool our resources to better address children's rights, welfare and protection, especially when the pandemic has exacerbated or in many cases highlighted the gaps that exist in our system when it comes to helping our children. If you missed any part of today's show or any previous Live and Learn episodes, you can download the podcast on bfm.my or on the BFM app. I'm Lim Tzu Wen, and you've been listening to Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.